Hello? Do you want to speak?
Test?
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Can you hear me well?
Very well.
Mine is like really low.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not sure.
Is there a volume button?
Well, it should be back here, but... Yeah, I don't...
You don't hear me well?
I mean, it's super muffled, so I don't know.
Oh.
That's really strange.
I hear you very well, though. That's
really?
Yeah. It's very crisp.
Oh, okay. Well, hello?
Can I hear myself? Hello, hello, hello. Oh, I see what you mean.
Can you speak into yours?
Yeah, do you see what it... Oh. Well, you have to speak into yours. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. Mine is still not perfect, but whatever. We'll have to deal with it.
Okay, cool.
It's going.
Oh, it's rolling?
Yeah, okay. I rolled.
All right. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Not really. Let's just go with it. Maybe we'll introduce ourselves like 5 minutes in or 10 minutes in or 20
sure.
minutes in.
So I want to know
keep it anonymous.
More about your experience in America mm-hmm. and how it's shaped your identity. Because you were not born and raised here. You came from a completely different country with a different culture. Your upbringing there versus your last few years here. Do you feel a shift in your behaviors, your thought process, your values?
There has to be some kind of switch, you know, there has to be some kind of, understanding of who you are. I definitely still feel strangely like the same person within, you know, my heart's still the same. And I don't know, I also feel like, you know, I haven't lived enough to, or maybe will never live enough to feel like I can identify myself as something or someone. It's very specific. I don't think I can say that, like, where I come from has shaped who I am, or, you know, I just feel very worldly. Like, I came here and everyone keeps asking me if I had some kind of shock or a culture shock, as they say. And I always say, no, not really. I just blend. I just flow. So.
But you don't think your environment.
Not
to say that your personality, like a person's core systems of mm-hmm. beliefs or, you know, your personality traits, you know, may stay relatively the same, but you don't think your environment shaped who you are? To think and believe the things you do? I mean, where else do you get that from?
Of course, yeah. I'm not saying it hasn't shaped anything, but what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, wherever you go in the world, humans are humans, you know, and because I'm an artist, I haven't really introduced myself, but I'm an artist. I won't say what kind of work I do, but I generally just feel connected to humans the same way I feel connected to humans back from when I'm back home. So, of course, the environment is different, but humans are essentially the same. We all have toothaches, we all cry, we all breathe, and we all, you know, walk or sit down or, you know, or look at each other. So I feel like those are things that don't really shape anything in me, or, you know, they don't really render anything different. Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm just trying to understand what Lebanon was like versus America.
Uh-huh.
Because even for me, traveling to China for the first time and living there, yeah, you're right. I feed off of energy, for example, and people are people. And you can find commonalities no matter where you go. But that world shaped and influenced me to some degree, because that culture is completely different. You know, to get by, to behave to what is socially appropriate in certain situations, completely different. So I definitely, like, you know, even with that, and I was only there for a short period of time.
So you didn't really live there?
Maybe a year, but even within a year, it's, I would say 1 month in, I saw drastic differences. You lived in Lebanon your whole life until the past 5 years, and living in America for 5 years, where you came from a completely different country. I'm curious to know, what are some key differences that really sit in, mm-hmm. you know, in you?
The first thing that pops up in my head is actually, like, I won't say environment, I'll say, like, landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, landscape just affects my mood, and, you know, lighting affects my mood very easily. So I think that has drastically changed. The buildings that I see, you know, the windows are different. The way that, you know, you would perceive, you know, a building is different. So I'm just being, I don't know why I went exactly, I don't know why I went to that kind of topic, but, or just that notion. But yeah, the landscape is definitely different. That affects me a lot. Much more than other things. Yeah, I kind of lost my train of thought. I traveled through, like, some hills in my mind, and I just got lost, and I sat and I stared at a tree, and I'm like, all right, well, that's a tree, and I exist now, so I'm just floating.
Are there any major, I guess, experiences that pan out in your mind more so? And it might not even have to be major. It could be, you know, the way taxi drivers, or in this case, like, Uber drivers, interact with you versus back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, that, you know, there would be a long list of things, you know, in that case. But we can shift to something a bit, you know, more interesting, maybe, whereas, like, we can I can highlight something I discovered about myself when I came here.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was a major experience. For example, I discovered that I was very much capable of convincing, like, random strangers that I could stay with them. You know, just by walking down, you know, and observing certain people and feeding off their energies, and just observing them and being able to go up to them and ask them if I could stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, after, you know, a little conversation. I never had to think of that, obviously, back home. And because of my situation coming here, it was obviously, you know, a little bit different. So that shaped something, you know, that I didn't have before, and I discovered something about myself.
How does that make you feel, to know that you are able to convince strangers to do something as intimate as letting you stay with them? without knowing them, without them knowing you?
I think there's just some kind of openness, some kind of love and trust that you have to kind of risk. And there is no other way to find out, you know, unless you actually try something like that.
Did that peel open a different aspect of your personality type, or something new about yourself that you didn't know?
I felt like the environment changed that, you know. I felt, you know, I never thought I could actually do that. And because of how New York is, maybe, but I feel like it's not New York specific, or it shouldn't be. It could have been in Ohio, it could have been in California, you know, it could have been anywhere. So it definitely shaped something. I just don't know, like, I'm still trying to understand who I am and how that actually occurred. And yeah, it takes time to just reflect and try to figure out who you really are. It's kind of like an endless labyrinth.
So you've been jumping around in America, you know, between different major cities, you know, crashing on other people's, you know, in other people's homes, essentially. And like you said, strangers, people that were once strangers, maybe. Mm-hmm. But in terms of your long-term stay in America, do you see yourself ever settling in a city and having a place of your own?
That question feels really far away.
Makes sense.
Yeah, right now I just feel like homeless, you know, like even if I go back home, I will feel homeless because I don't know myself in Tokyo yet, for example, you know. I don't know myself in Argentina. There's so many ways of discovering yourself, but at the end of the day, you know, you're just human, and you want to be kind and you want to be open to other people. So the openness I had in New York, I could apply it to Argentina, and maybe a little bit different, you know, but how different? So it's just an endless kind of infinite labyrinth that you're stepping into, and you only have one lifetime maybe to do that. Maybe not, but, you know, while you're here, you might as well not settle.
In your act of speaking to people, like, is there ever a moment where you're like, I want to stay with this person, so I'm going to be a little bit more, I don't know, open and approachable? Like, how is it that you come to find people to depend on, to live in their, you know, to live in their homes? Is this, at what point are you like, this person is a green light for me to stay there? And do you finesse that in any way? Do you?
Yeah, every person has their own energy, and it comes with observation, and, you know, you really have to, it's a feeling that you just can't sit down and explain, you know. I can't explain that to you, like, in mm-hmm. words almost. It's just something you feel, and you give yourself the green light, you know. And even if you do, like, maybe that person won't accept, and that's fine, but you somehow felt something, and you try. Mm-hmm. So again, it's just some kind of openness to other humans that has to exist from within, and then just take it from there. Some people won't understand it, you know, it's not in their culture, it's something too far-fetched for them, but at the end of the day, you know, you're gonna learn something about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I know personally that you crashed on couches for, what is it, 365 days? Or
I mean, this is starting to sound like an interview. About, like, I want it to feel more like a conversation between you and I as friends.
Oh, yeah. It was just...
I hate repeating myself and my story.
Well, this is something that I think I know about you, but...
Like, the last thing I want
to... Yeah. Detail process of, like, for example, you know me now to know that I would never ask to sleep on somebody... in somebody's place because of maybe my pride, my ego, my you know, fear of intrusion and my upbringing. So to have the ability to go and open yourself up, one, to find the right people too, means you're drawing in certain energies and, you know, speaking them to them in a way where, you know, you're comfortable and they're comfortable. You know, that's something that I never, it doesn't even cross my mind, you know. So the details I'm asking you in terms of, like, was it that if you did stay on somebody's couch for 365 days, it must have been a number of people. And within that, those number of people, yeah, there's got to be some formula there at this point, you know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Me neither.
Okay.
But, again, it's just something you feel. And again, I can't describe it. It's something you just, you can't fathom it at all. It's within you and people are different.
Does it make you happy?
Not necessarily. I don't think anything makes me happy. You know, it makes me curious.
What about it makes you curious?
What makes me curious is the different people you will come across in your life and be able to speak to, document, read with, talk to, you know, just... I think that's very essential, you know, to come across layers and layers of energies and memories and time, you know, and stretch that out as much as possible while you're here, while you're walking and while you're aware.
It's interesting because, you know, you stay with so many people and I mean, you've stayed with so many people. Are you very close to those people or is it almost like that experience happened and you close that door and you move on to the next chapter? Or is there still...
So you're trying to define...
I have no idea. I don't want to define anything. Right. I'm just asking.
Right. So that question... you know, insinuates some, it tries to cook up a formula or a way that is gone about, you know, every time or every other time, let's say. But it really is circumstantial every single time, you know, because your life is changing constantly. You're reading more, you're listening to different kinds of music, you're talking to these new people and they're shaping something in your head and you're taking that with you.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and you're putting it in your bag and you're moving on, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that you will you know, and you, like what you just described right now is like you move on, you shut that door and you just you
or know. Is it like, I guess what I mean to say is like
it's up to those two people. Like, let's say it's me and you, it's like up to us. What do we want to do with later?
I agree. I definitely think it's a two-way street, but in terms of your, from here where you are sitting right now and your history of this, what has been the case? There has to be, you know, I know each case is different. The reasoning behind it is different. Every person is different. What they contributed to you and vice versa is different. But like, in that those number, let's say that you have like 10 cases. Maybe you see a pattern. 7 out of 10 happen to be da 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 this way. And I think that comes with personality type as well. Like, sure, my experiences, I can say every single thing is so vastly different, but I still see a pattern within myself. And it doesn't matter where I am, how old the person is, what color they are, it doesn't matter. There's still some sort of a pattern because of my personality and how people engage with me and my personality, you know?
Right.
So I mean that to ask you, like, almost like, all right, so far, based on your experiences and these people, what has happened? That's, you know, factually.
Well, there's too many cases to...
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that each case is so drastically different.
You can say so.
I mean, yeah. Of course, because they're different people.
Mm-hmm. In different places and different times. So that changes the nature of everything, and it disrupts the pattern. It doesn't disrupt your personality, obviously, your character and how you go about doing things, but it does somehow disrupt the pattern that you're talking about.
I guess I haven't been clear, because I think you're misunderstanding me.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not saying there is a, you know, I don't know what the pattern is. I'm mm-hmm. just asking you questions. I'm not even insinuating anything. I'm simply asking, within those, you know, that group of people, are a vast majority still close to you and communicate with you, or are they at a distance, more at a distance?
I would say, if you want to, like, say this or that, I would definitely say more at a distance mm-hmm. than like everyone being close.
Yeah.
But again, all of them were in, like, happened in New York. We're talking about my New York life, you know, not my life in Beirut, mm-hmm. where I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and lived with my parents.
Exactly.
So,
no, what I mean is, like, your experience in America has been dependent on the kindness of strangers and your ability to connect with them, you know? I mean, that's what we were...
And for the, you know, their kindness too, and their openness to this kind of energy.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And it's almost fascinating how much people can, you know, how strangers can open up to each other. And when they do, you know, it's I wouldn't say beautiful, but it's interesting, or riveting rather.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make you feel like I was assuming something, but yeah, there just is, based on your experiences, like, you can see the weighing of one or two, although every case is different. I mean, that's a given, because everybody's different.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the people that I was staying with are from... Like, if you want to put all the countries that they're from, like, you could probably go around the whole world, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, you have to ask, where did they come from, and, like, what's their experience like, and what's their experience like at that specific time frame that, you know, I stayed with them. Mm-hmm. So there's so many variables and layers that it just becomes so disruptive to follow an actual pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it disrupts your personal pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well. So what if you want to, like, just dissolve everything and boil it down and narrow it down to something, it would just probably be the word openness.
Mm.
You know, that's yeah. really what is rendered at the end the most solid of all things.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And I find it you know, inspiring that people, I mean, again, during your hard times, you've depended on the kindness of other people, and other people have given it to you, you know? And I believe that as a greater symbol for people all around, like, when you're in need, when somebody is in need and you're capable of giving a little bit more, you should, and vice versa back to you, hopefully, when, you know, it just goes around that way.
Yeah.
So that's a...
Even the people that were open to me, you know, back to me, it taught them something about themselves, you know, not just... It's like a mutual thing, you know, even if they're not prepared to host me, or, you know, a lot of them did, eventually did, and, you know, something interesting emerged out of that.
I think it doesn't matter who you are, but if you put two people in a room together, there will be something taken from it. It's impossible not to.
Of course. You know? Yeah.
So, but I definitely don't think it's like.
But there's an openness, like there's some kind of openness, and then there's like another kind of openness where it's like you're actually putting them in your space, and people are very sensitive to that, you know, mm-hmm. at the same time. So.
Yeah, I mean, what the hosts may receive, I feel like, in terms of reflecting on themselves, is just because there's another entity in your space, and you have to be somewhat mindful of it, and that in itself is going to change, you know? But, I mean, just flowing as organic and naturally as can be will be helpful and authentic in instilling thought.
Yeah, right. I've always been curious about, like, what if I was an architect, you know, or an engineer, you know, like, how would that relationship pan out, you know, or the, you know, the openness pan out if I wasn't an artist, like, you know, presenting myself as an artist or a filmmaker, you know, or a photographer. So it would be something I would love to, you know, one day find out about, but it's...
To not be in the field that you're in and something completely different.
Yeah, to specialize in something else and be in that space with the same people...
That you were once.
That I was once with, and talk about, you know, certain things in a specific way with them and see where that goes.
Yeah, well, you definitely, I can imagine that you would have an opinion and mm-hmm. would want to take more control of certain, you know, projects because of your familiarity with something like photography, or if you were producing a film, you know, how it was shot, you know.
Even as simple and complex at the same time, you know, looking at something or that someone in their space, you know, and how you view the light at that specific time in the day when you're just hanging out, or even when you're brushing your teeth, you're looking outside, you know, or looking in the mirror, like everything kind of, you pay attention to, like I pay attention, for example, to the art in that, you know, the framing and the lighting and the design of the world that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. It makes me feel something. Whereas, let's say, if I was an architect, you know, it would make me feel something else, you know. Or if I was a translator, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the details that we pay attention to start changing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Across, you know, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do know on a personal level that these little nuances do affect you. Mm-hmm. And you are you are extremely aware of it, to these microscopic details.
Yeah. Maybe something that changes over time is that hyper awareness. You know, the more people you stay with, it's not like you get better at staying with people, you know, it's again circumstantial, but you learn some ways, you know, of dealing with specific things that you may not ever talk about or bring up,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, there's a way that is invoked, or, you know, that just kind of happens naturally almost,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
over time.
Yeah. I mean, you're also very quiet and introverted, and I think that you living and engaging with other people and their spaces is a way for you to have that dose of engagement with other people in almost like a political environment where you have to, you know, be a little bit more conscientious. So, I mean, you definitely get your dose of interaction there, you know.
For sure, because 95% of the other time I'm by myself.
Yeah, you're pretty isolated.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, at least you have that, because it's shaping you in some way in right. engaging with other people. I mean, do you ever care to have a different type of social life? Or do you care to have a social life?
I feel like I do.
Mm-hmm. Even, that's what's important.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea if you do or not. But from what we've discussed and what you've told me, it's like...
It's non-existent?
Yeah. Well, you claim such a high percentage of isolation that...
It's actually true. Mm-hmm. It feels like I am completely isolated, but I'm actually not.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
how
good.
Can you be completely isolated if you live in a city like...
That's
you know.
Good that you're aware of that and that you're right. admitting it. I'm like almost proud of you right now for even admitting that. Because I feel like for so long you have been saying and emphasizing this level of isolation. But just now I think what you just said was very raw, honest, and vulnerable. And it's just the truth. Like you do live in a city. You go out and maybe you bike around and you talk to strangers. Like those are qualities
even
that
if you don't. You know, talk to anyone. Like, I will go days without talking to people. You know, the most I will probably get out of someone is, hey, you know, like when I'm ordering my coffee, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that sometimes, you know, you can go a week and just talk about, or just basically you're ordering coffee and that's how you're communicating with someone else. You know, it really just depends on what you're doing, what kind of work you're doing, what kind of mental space you're in, and, you know, so on and so on and so on. So I do know that to some degree I'm incredibly isolated, but at the same time, I do know that I am not isolated, you know? It's just like there's some degrees of, like, that people can handle than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can handle way more than a number of people, you know. Going days without phone calls, days without conversation, you know.
I think if you had a conversation every day, you would go crazy. Like, or consecutively.
Me in particular?
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily.
Like,
but
the amount of noise pollution in engaging with people, discussions, meetings, you know, maybe social events that really are nothing but networking, but you have to show up to. But if that happened, you know, 3 times a day for like 5 days.
Maybe that's why I'm unemployed like 3 months at a time.
I think you would lose your mind.
Yeah, I just said it, you know, yeah. Like. Probably. I don't know. We have 11 minutes and 42 seconds. Maybe we should talk more about you.
This is the Karim show.
So no, it's not. Well, it turned is. Accidentally turned into one, but...
There's no room for Aim here.
There's always room
for Aim. We're going to cash out now.
No, we have 10 minutes. We should talk. No, we should fill it out.
Oh, it's so bright in here all of a sudden.
All of a sudden?
Yeah.
Well, because we turned the spotlight on you.
Yeah. Well, I feel like for this journey, I've definitely sat and, like, talked to you about you and your, not just this interview, but, like, this entire experience in general, you know? And I think it's good that you're talking and expressing, and it's on you because I think you need it.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe not. It's arguable.
Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, I'm just saying I believe that based on
great.
What I've seen.
Yeah. That's good.
But I also, you know, I'm curious to see what new phase you would evolve into, you know, versus where you are now.
Where would you like it to be? Do you have some kind of, like, ideal phase?
That's really messed up because I to want someone to be molded into something specific? I not really, because, you know, I'm not going to say somebody needs to have these aspects. I don't even have anything myself. But for you, I think there's one thing that's clear, and that's, you know, elevating the soul and mood a little bit, and that's it. But upon doing that and being more aware and conscientious in a different way, I think you would blossom a different way. You know, you would come off a different way. Because it's me and you're my friend, I'm curious how you would come off to me on that new chapter, you know, how your energy and your, you know, your presence would change the way I, you know, interact with you.
Sounds like a very disappointing presence right now.
But it's different. It's not. I like how
it's
you
a
like
dead flower.
I love how you like interpret it that way. Yeah.
Well, it sounded like that.
No, but. It is. I'm curious, and I can say the same about, like, I used a very, very, like, loose framework, because that's essentially the same with everybody. Like, you can see a kid and how they interact with you, and then, you know, an old man and how they interact with you, but the same person, you know. I'm curious to see that. I haven't seen some friends for 10 years, and it could be drastically different or exactly the same, you know. Mm-hmm. So with you, those thoughts cross my mind, but I don't have some like expectation of X, you know, not at all.
Sounds like we need to travel together more.
Maybe.
Yeah. I feel like that's how I actually blossom. You know, it's by changing where I have been for a month or two or three or four. That's the best way for me to alter my, you know, my roots. Not my actual roots, but like where I've settled for a certain period of time.
Yeah, I definitely think traveling's great for everybody, you know. To engage in different cultures and have multiple perspectives so that you can do, you know, a comparative analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, I would want that for everybody, you know. Traveling takes time, and this culture, I mean, you would really have to manage money and time with that, especially today.
Yeah.
In your field.
Exactly. The expiration date, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm canned food, you know, with an expiration date. And I have to be, like, when I expire, I have to go somewhere else no matter what, you know. It's important to move around. It really is. That's why I feel like some people are like, are you going to stay in New York forever? And I'm like, of course not, you know. And they ask, where are you going next? How the fuck do you know?
Yeah, I definitely see you as like a more of a nomadic traveler because of your perspectives. You wouldn't want to just have, you know, a base. I mean, maybe you have a base to come back to and pop around from there. But I also think that your views would change based on, you know, environment, people, finances. So
experience, so many things.
And I definitely think finances is a huge driving factor.
Yeah, you're talking to, you know, a person whose religion is almost cinema, you know, and cinema has drastically changed. We don't even know where it is right now. Like, I don't even know where it is, so that uncertainty, you know, worry, like, it, there's a void, you know, in my soul, and it just feels like this time is so confusing, But we were talking about adaptation earlier. And of course we will adapt, you know, of course we will continue to live and try to thrive, you know, but is it really that, you know, is success or fame or finances really the way that we should look at things, you know, as,
oh, definitely not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Definitely not. But it definitely is. Those factors shape heavily how you look at things, heavily. Right. I mean, they're like very toxic factors, and being extremely high.
Well, I think what's toxic is self-importance. You know, self-confidence, however, is extremely healthy. To achieve the self-confidence, you should have your peers and you know the circles that you don't know around you, or you know the people that are abroad, you know, looking at your stuff and you know, at least accepting them or just watching them or deciphering, you know, just, you know, any kind of response, you know.
In the art world, mm-hmm. I'm not in it, but what I do see is, you know, people, how there's self-confidence, and then there's almost like, as an artist, you almost have the world centered around you. Like, everything is about you and your work and your world, you know? And it's almost like, you know, I've come across a number of artists, and I wonder sometimes, like, maybe that's what they need to survive, you know? Like, you almost need to be egocentric to go on and push on further in the field, you know?
Possibly.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, again, from people I've met and seen, you know, public figures, and I mean, they all, you almost, and artists, you have to convince yourself that almost, you know, or believe it.
I feel like I'm nomadic subconscious, like, you know, doing this subconsciously because I want to go back to nil. I want to have this openness and rid of this ego, you know, that this artist ego. It's in a way opening up to yourself and to others, mm-hmm. you know, and sitting down and kind of trying to, you know, play around with ideas of the self and the arts and, you know, like defining the arts, you know, what the hell is that anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to find a way to survive at the end. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that's why they have this series called Art is Life, you know, because some, you know, maybe a lot of artists, that's what it is. That's what life is mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah.
They, you know, like.
That's what I'm saying. It basically circulates every fiber of your existence. And so now your mind and your daily thoughts, what you eat and breathe is that art. And so you carry it everywhere, you know, and it reflects in conversations and engagements. It's like the artist is completely engulfed in that, you know, and
that can change over time, you know, like 2018 artists versus like 1950s artists, you know, like, I mean, that's just an interesting way to look at it, of course, and try to understand what that kind of person or what those kind of people were like. You know, of course, I mean, they must have breathed it the same way, but there is a different thought process today, and we definitely know that, you know, things are changing drastically. And it's a complicated time for artists, maybe. Or maybe it's always been complicated for artists, but I don't know, I'm speaking from, you know, it's 2018, and I feel like it's very complex.
Our technology definitely influences that, and the proliferation of information. Do you want to introduce your name?
I'll keep it anonymous. We actually said my name earlier, but we don't have a last name, so it's fine.
Okay. Well, that's our interview.
What about you?
I'm not even part of this.
What do you mean you're not?